Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
After an extended weather delay, Nashville put on an electric performance as they beat Memphis 901 FC 2-0 and secure their first back-to-back wins of the season. We take a look at this and more on Speedway Soccer Pod. Hey everybody, welcome into Speedway Soccer Pod. We're broadcasting live from Alley Taps on Historic Printers Alley. And as always, proud to be a part of the Beautiful Game Network, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm Jonathan Sloop, and I'm here this evening with...
Ben Wright.
Andy Simmons.
John Sloop.
All right, guys. Well, it was a good sports day in Nashville, or sports weekend in Nashville. We got to see the Preds pick up an overtime win. And then, most importantly, got to see NSC... finally start a game after an hour and 17 minutes of weather delay, but it ended up, the wait ended up being worth it. What did you guys think of the night?
Go ahead.
I mean, first off, the weather delay was frustrating, but on the plus side, we got to watch the Preds on the scoreboard, so that was fun. Once it actually started, I feel like Nashville kind of picked up where they left off against Ottawa. I mean, they started in the same formation. I mean, they made two changes, but it was pretty much the same system. And especially in the first half, I thought they were just by far the better team.
Yeah, I think
they were unlucky to score.
I think the only thing that was missing from the first half and first 75 minutes was Nashville getting a goal, but they got it once they got Super Sub Ropapa in. It was good for him to get open up his account as well, too. Because he's such a fan favorite. He was one of the top goal scorers last year. And for him to come in and make a difference in that game, it just speaks volumes that maybe we'll see some more of him moving forward up at the top.
I got to tell you, as a fan and for the community, this game, I think, was really important in setting a tone. That win in Ottawa was very exciting, right? I was feeling optimistic and excited about going to the game in a way different than in the past. And really happy to see this go through. Like, it's not been often that we've really backed wins up with each other, right? And so this is very, very exciting to watch this team do this. And I thought it was a very exciting game.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis, new team, new expansion team. They most definitely, they look like they're going to be a tough opponent. They're still, kind of going through some of the similar things that Nashville did last year with, taking a lot of shots. They played a game against Atlanta United 2 on Wednesday night and took 18 shots, and that's really been, chance creation has really been an issue for them. They have a strong defense, so there's a lot of similarities between first-year Nashville and first-year Memphis, but it was really good to see the team, come out and capitalize on that win against Ottawa. Ben, you want to kind of touch on some of the stats from the game?
Yeah, I mean, so... They didn't give away as much possession as we saw against Ottawa. I think they had like 35%. So at home, they were back up to around 55. But I mean, still they were the dominant team in terms of chances created. They had let me pull this up. They had a 2.7 XG to Memphis's 0.04. They outshot them like 21-6. They had 7 shots on targets to Memphis 1.
Just I know a lot of people know this, but can you clarify XG one more time?
Yeah, so I mean, basically, it's just a way to determine the quality of chances based on where on the field they're taken and how they're taken. So I feel like a lot of times we just look at the shot total and say this team outshot the other team, so they deserve to win. But it gives a better look at how many goals they
are expected
to score.
You can ask him that every time on the podcast, right. And be happy to explain it.
Yeah. But I mean, so not only did Nashville take more shots and have more chances, they had better chances, and really, Rios had 6 shots and was pretty unlucky to score. I mean, he had that chip in the first half that was probably just a yard wide. And it kind of felt like reminiscent of last year in a lot of ways, where Nashville was the dominant team and had plenty of chances and just couldn't find a way to score. And I felt like that up in the press box, and I think it probably everybody at the game kind of was starting to feel like it was going to be another one of those games where Nashville just couldn't score.
Yeah, it definitely felt like as the game, you know, first half wasn't too disappointed to see us fail to score, especially with the guys coming off of such an extended, weather delay where, you know, they got ready, then came out, got warmed up again, went back down the tunnel, then came out and got ready again. So that stop-start definitely doesn't help. But I think having a first half and then coming off that second half was vital for Nashville. But I think one of the biggest talking points to start off the game was the inclusion of Darnell King.
Yeah, I thought Darnell King played really well. He had the second most touches out of anybody on the field. He also had 3 tackles. He created 3 chances as well, too. So hopefully with his inclusion and the way he impressed out there, we'll see more of him moving forward.
I was very, very excited. I didn't know what to expect. Some of you had told me to have pretty high expectations, but I was really super impressed. I've got to say, I didn't go through this game, even when it was frustrating, it felt like we weren't going to score, I didn't find myself looking at any one player and thinking this is a weakness or getting angry or frustrated. I thought we had a pretty consistent, they're playing together better than they did last season, that's for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they played well together, and there was not anyone I felt that was a weak link.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to Darnell King, I was just really impressed with his crossing. I mean, I feel like...
Oh, yeah.
He put in a couple balls, yep, especially to Tucker Hume, that we just haven't seen that before from the right side. So, I mean, it's exciting, and the potential of having him and Belmar on the same side together is really exciting.
I think with King, he puts in a different type of cross, too, whether it's not more of a lofted cross. Like that one specifically to Hume was low, low and hard, and it's a different type of ball, and I think it's a ball that I think has a higher percentage of scoring.
Yeah, the driven crosses actually cause more trouble than the ones in the lofted ones because you can prepare for those. If it's driven like that, defenders have a hard time handling those.
You don't have to, whoever's trying to put it on goal doesn't have to do as much. You just have to redirect it. You don't have to worry about getting a ton of pace onto it.
Yep. So,
yeah, it'll be exciting to see him going forward.
Belmar amazed me. I just want to say this. I know we all agree on this, but he was... I was stunned every time about how he out-muscled and out-paced on the right side. He was up every time, moving into toward the center, crossing in. He really impresses me.
Yeah, he's been probably the best player, not goal-scoring wise, but just being able to create chances for Nashville, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was really impressed when he's obviously good 1v1, but when he beats his defender, his passes into the box are... I mean, he picks his head up, and he's not just putting a hopeful ball into the box. He knows exactly where he's going with it.
And he usually can do that because he beats the defender so well. I mean, he's really got enough time to look before he crosses. Exactly. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and as well, like he definitely is one of those players that passes the eye test. You look at him, you see how good he is. And while he has been super productive as far as chances created, he still has yet to chip in for a goal and an assist. So hopefully at some point,
I think it's coming sometime
in the very near future, possibly even this weekend against Charleston, we'll actually get to see him, you know, create a lot of those, actually score one of those chances or provide an assist.
I'm going to go ahead and say before we put out our predictions that I'm going to predict him with one of the goals. That's it.
I feel like I've predicted him with a goal for the past 3 or 4 games.
I have not done it yet.
Eventually, I'll be all right.
It's the good luck charm right here.
Yes, that's right.
I think Nashville has an embarrassment of riches, too, now in the midfield, because LaGrosse is playing well, Michael Reed's playing really well, man. And Bolo, like, he only played for 5 minutes, but the past couple games that he's played, barring the Ottawa game since he didn't travel, he's played as well, too. So it's nice to see that he has, you know, choices to make in the midfield now. And they're hard choices, too, because all three are playing really well right now.
Can we talk about LaGrosse for a second?
Sure.
I mean,
he's been wonderful.
So the game against Memphis was he's appeared in every Nashville SC match for the past calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, up until then, he had played all but 2 minutes of the season so far. And I mean, even before the goal against Memphis, I feel like he's been one of Nashville's better performers. But yeah, against Memphis, I feel like he just really stepped up when Nashville needed it. And that finish, I mean,
the touch
to set him up was fantastic. Yeah. But the finish, especially from a central midfielder, was just really impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, and I know last season probably one of the things that we harped on the most was that the Matt LaGrosse experiment on the wing. As we talked a lot of times about, like, it was a bit frustrating to watch him. He doesn't necessarily have the pace, and I think if you talk to Matt, he would tell you he doesn't necessarily love playing on the wing. I think he's said that at times. So it's good to see him getting his skill set and his, you know, in a favored position and seeing that put to work, and we're seeing the dividends from that now.
Yeah.
I want to pose a question when we're finished talking about individual players. So just keep going with that if you have other ones you want to talk about, but I want to ask you guys a question.
I think Pickens played well as well, too. He had a pretty solid night. I'm fairly confident we might see him and Sparrow rotating in and out, like 2-1, 2-2, or something like that. I know we had talked about we think that Sparrow's eventually going to take the job from him, but I still think as long as Pickens is playing well, it'll be kind of like a timeshare thing moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last year, not just us, but a lot of people would talk about Gary Smith's management style is very defensive, and we weren't going to see a lot of scoring. And the games felt that way, but we're watching the games now, and I'm asking you guys, do you see a change in how we're playing, or are we just scoring more often, and does that change what we're doing?
Okay. I think there's a definite change in how we're playing. If you look specifically at the fullbacks, he did this a bit toward the end of last season, mm-hmm. When we were successful offensively. But if you look at the fullbacks, they're being pushed much further up the field. We're having a higher line, and so we're engaging them earlier, and that's allowing us to create chances and counter well. And even on the times where, you know, Ottawa specifically, where we sat back and looked to counter, it was, I mean, you could quote-unquote call that a defensive-first strategy, but the whole idea was to lure them in so that we could then exploit those holes in that space that they leave open.
I think a lot of it, I mean, I agree with everything Slape said, and then added to that, I think just in general, from the fullbacks and from the wingers, mm-hmm. I think we're just getting more production from wide areas. I mean, against Memphis, they attempted 30 crosses, which is a pretty high number, and ideally, don't want to see your crossing as your primary method of chance creation. And I don't think it necessarily was, but I think what they are getting from wide areas is much better than it was last year. I mean, we talked about Carlton Belmar. He's an upgrade out wide. And then Maloto, I mean, he started pretty slowly. And he didn't do anything flashy against Memphis, but I feel like just his presence on the left wing and his ability to distribute the ball, I think, is really helping.
I also think, too, chemistry is a big thing, too, because these guys have been playing with each other. And, yes, you added a couple pieces in the offseason, but it looks like they're really starting to gel with the old guard, I say. And so with them starting to gel a little bit, they know each other's tendencies, when to make runs, where they're at and whatnot. So that just opens up the game so much more for them moving forward. So that's why I think we're seeing more of attacking style, I think.
Oh, and I was just one other thing I think will be interesting is, so Tucker Hume has started the last two games, and I feel like he occupies the center backs really well, just because he's an aerial threat, and if Nashville have the ball 30 yards away from him, he's still a threat to take a long ball. So I feel like it gives Rios and Belmar and even the central midfielders a little bit more space to operate in. And I know a primary reason for Hume being so involved is that Cameron Lancaster has been hurt. But even when he comes back, it'll be really interesting to see what happens, because Hume's played really well, and so far Lancaster hasn't been incredibly impressive. I don't feel like that's really harsh to say that. So I just think it'll be interesting to see how Gary Smith handles that when he has both players healthy.
When are we expecting Lancaster back?
I mean, he's been questionable
every time, right?
The past 2 weeks, but he's not been in either squad. So I mean, if he's questionable again this week, I'm not super optimistic.
So, which brings me kind of the next question that I was going to have. So we've seen, you know, the past two games, we've played this three, we played this 4-4-2. So now looking forward, maybe the game against Charleston, but just even just looking forward to the season, how do you guys think both the inclusion of Lancaster could help this team score even more goals, and potentially maybe even the inclusion of Alan Wynn starting off from the get-go?
I mean, I think Wynn is interesting because, I mean, I feel like he would change things up more than Lancaster would, just because he's a completely different player from Lebo Maloto. Mm-hmm. And so that would just be interesting to see, just given his pace, and the fact that he wouldn't drift in as much as Maloto. Maloto is a guy who's going to want to cut inside and create chances from there, whereas if Wynn's starting, both he and Belmar would probably hug the sideline a little bit more. But I mean, I don't expect that this starting lineup is going to stay nailed down for the rest of the year. I think we're going to see
we'll see some changes. So, yeah. I think we'll see lots of rotation because they've got an embarrassment of riches in front of them. I think when Lancaster comes back, it'll make teams very weary of where he is as well too, because he's such a threat inside the box. Not necessarily that Tucker's not a threat in the box, but he's more of a hold up forward. Whereas Lancaster, if you put any ball in front of him, he's going to find a way to finish it on target.
We're going to talk this moment of fear that Andy and I had there the night at the ballpark when we
were looking. Right.
We knew that Lancaster was injured, and we looked up and we were looked up at the beer line, and we saw Tucker Hume standing there with just his regular clothes on, and I looked at him and I did a like hands out like, why are you dressed like that?
And turns out it was his twin brother.
And I know a lot of other fans had that experience, but I really was frightened. I was like, oh my god, Hume's out too.
But they really do, like, it's crazy, like they could. Like if
they
you
pass as twins,
I know, right? It's just crazy.
How almost like they are.
Yeah, they're the same height too. Yeah,
it's weird. But that was pretty funny. That was a funny moment.
So I think the other thing. I mean, it was only a 2-0 win. I kind of predicted more, but Scott Caldwell's a pretty good goalkeeper.
Right? Yeah.
And Mark Birch, their former teammate of Justin Davis as well. Mm-hmm. So I mean those guys. The funny thing is he actually came in and replaced Justin Davis.
Yeah.
But I definitely going forward, Memphis is going to be a team to keep an eye on. I think mm-hmm. they'll squeak into the playoffs.
They've had an up and down start, but I mean they've had some good results. I mean a 2-0 loss in Nashville is not anything to be embarrassed about. So I agree they'll be a good team going forward.
I think I get fooled sometimes. In the same, it's sort of silly, but they're a new franchise, so I expect to roll over them, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are all good players. I mean, we're all dealing with good players with all these teams.
And speaking of former players, Donovan Pines, DC United pulled him up from Loudoun, mm-hmm. so it'll be interesting to see how Loudoun going forward keeps that because they've been pretty strong defensively. So it'll be interesting to see how they're able to keep that together.
I think Loudoun, we kind of misjudged them at first just because of how long it took them to get things going. But the fact of the matter is that most of their players are from the DC United Academy, or a lot of them even from the first team. So it's never a question of talent with them.
Right. So after Saturday, we go on a 3-game road trip, and I mean, not necessarily the easiest of road trip. We go to Charleston, who had some struggles early on. I think a lot of that is down to Atala Guerrero, which it sounds like, from what I've been able to figure out, is he is missing due to some visa issues. The government shutdown kind of held him back. So don't really have a whole lot of information on that, but he was their leading goal scorer there. And then we go to Pittsburgh the next weekend and then play Atlanta United 2 in Atlanta before being back that Wednesday against Tampa Bay.
That Pittsburgh game should be interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all gonna be tough.
I have Charleston, Pittsburgh, and Atlanta as 7, 8, and 9 in the mm-hmm. in the power rankings. So I mean, they're all pretty good sides.
Well, while we're talking about the power rankings, where have you got us now?
I have Nashville went up to number one. Tampa Bay drew Louisville, who I don't have. Right. I have them at 14, so that didn't help Tampa. They stayed pretty much even. And then St. Louis lost to Birmingham at home, which was, I would say, probably the most surprising result of the week. So that
3-2 as well.
Right. Yeah. So that dropped them down to third. And then Nashville got a bump from their win.
I don't think that's too unfair. I think that that's a good spot for them to be.
Yeah, I mean,
considering the results that happened over the weekend.
Yeah. No, I think it's fair. I mean, a lot of it is there's a small sample size and teams.
Well,
like
based on the
Indy has played 3 games and other teams have played 6, but I feel like it's starting to even out more.
And based on the last 2 weekends, they've looked really awesome. So
I mean, and the fact of the matter, I mean, so it has the model has Nashville, Tampa Bay, and St. Louis pretty separated at the top, and that seems pretty fair. I feel like so far those 3 have been the top in the East.
Then Indy's playing this evening, so by tomorrow morning, you guys, by the time you hear this, you'll see the score of the Indy game, who they've had a kind of a stop-start season. But I think if this would have been last season and we would have had 3 road games against these 3 tough, I mean, you can argue if Atlanta United 2 is a tough opponent. But on these 3 opponents, last year I'd have been a little worried, but after as well as we've played on the road, it's a small sample size at 2 games, I mean, I feel pretty confident. What about you guys?
I do. I'm confident just because of how we're playing. I feel very good about what we're doing right now, this team.
What he said, you know, they've got so much momentum right now, and it just seems like they are going to keep this train rolling right now until they get stopped.
Something's got to happen before I lose faith. Right now.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and just given how we've played on the road so far against 2 pretty decent teams, I feel like Nashville. They might not get. I don't expect them to get 9 points from their 3 games, but I think they'll do well and kind of keep on track from where we've seen them so far.
Mm-hmm. So what do we got? What do we have going on this week coming out from Speedway?
So we put out the chalkboard and the player ratings out this morning. So if you guys haven't seen those, go check those out. We should have player ratings out tomorrow.
I'm personally a big fan of the chalkboard. It's a good column.
Yeah, I've had fun with it.
Anything coming out from Sloop and Andy?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
That's a teaser in the business.
It's a teaser in the business. I'm going to be taking a week off from the Around the League. A little busy moving right now, so my life's a little all over the place. But with that, I think we're going to try to, on Thursday, get something out. Again, previewing Charleston Battery with someone covering the Battery, because I know it helps all of us. We can watch these games and watch other teams play as much as we want, but it's a lot different to hear somebody else from somebody else, which I think is a huge help. So I think so. We'll have that on Thursday, maybe try to couple it with another interview. So be on the lookout for that. But with that, as always, we're on a Beautiful Game Network, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves, your home for your USL, MLS, US national team, and personal scarves. This is our plug. Our website has our scarves that you can purchase. I haven't seen them in person because Davey has them. But you can grab those there.
He's holding them hostage.
SpeedwaySoccer.com.
SpeedwaySoccer.com. Check us out on social media as well. Thank you guys, and we'll talk to you later.